Hello and welcome to Boring Beige Box, the weekly podcast about retro computing. I'm your host, Matt Wilson. If you like to hack away at your autoexec.bat or config.sys files just so you can play King's Quest or Ultima, you're at the right place. From 2400 baud modems to IBM PS1s, to Monkey Island 2, to the Sierra Network, we cover it all if it happened in the 80s and 90s. So clean out that garage, pull out that old boring beige box, and let's have some fun. Hello and welcome to episode 17 for February 20th, 2007, Tuesday. Hello, glad you could make it. My name is Matt Wilson. And I'm the host of Boring Beige Box. It has been a while since I have recorded, and it is a pleasure to be back behind the old microphone here. It has been a while, and I've just been very busy, and I've been doing a lot of different things, but I hope to be recording this back to the weekly basis. I have been doing a live version of Boring Beige Box on TalkShoe.com, and you can just do a search for Boring Beige Box or retro computing on TalkShoe, and I usually do a nighttime version, a live version, where you can call in and join in and chat with me. Usually Thursday nights at 8 p.m. Central Time or 9 p.m. Eastern. And I would definitely check that out at TalkShoe.com. Today's topic is random access. That's the title for today's show. I'm just going to be touching on lots of random topics that I'm interested in this week. Try to get back in the saddle with the regular show here. So just bear with me, and we will cover some great topics. You can check out our website at www.boringbeigebox.com. There's also some online forums there. They're brand new. I'm using the vanilla message board software. It's a great different style of message board software, but it's very cool. And just register for an account and just give me a little time to approve you. And I'll set you up. But I'm back into the retro computing, so it's very exciting. It's been a while. You know, we had the Christmas holiday. It looks like it was my last episode was back in November, November 28th. And then before that, it was September 23rd. So, you know, it's been almost like 2 or 3 months since I've, you know, released a new show on the regular Boring Beige Box. But I want to get back into it. I definitely stay tuned, and there's going to be some great stuff coming out. So today, random access. I haven't been into this much lately, but I have recently read a book called Commodork, Sordid Tales of a BBS Junkie by Rob O'Hara. It is a great, great book. I would definitely check it out. You can find out more information about it if you go to www.robohara.com. That's R-O-B-O-H-A-R-A.com. And the book is entitled Commodork, and it is all about Rob's experience growing up in the late 70s and 80s, and even into the 90s, talking about his days of being a part of bulletin board systems, which... you know, I did a lot of that. I did some BBSing in the early days. Not real early days, but actually near the tail end. In the early 90s, 91, 92, 93, 94, and then about that time, the internet or the World Wide Web took over and things began to change. But I did some BBSing in the early 90s. I remember dialing up to a bulletin board system called ExecPC, which was one of the big, you know, pay... BBSs, and I think I remember just downloading some of the free files, but you know, the most fun were the pirate boards where you could get wares and, you know, hacker files and, you know, all that stuff. So that was a lot of fun. But, you know, really for me, if I was looking for files or looking for things, you know, it was the age of America Online. I was really into that, and you know, I was an AOL lamer, you know, all that stuff. But that was the best source to get, you know, wares directly sent to your email box, and that was definitely a lot of fun. So, the bulletin board systems, you know, were okay, but I really didn't do that for very long because 1 month, you know, like every kid probably did, they were seduced by the long-distance bulletin boards that were big and had everything because the local scene was usually pretty poor. And so, you know, always that 1 month I dialed up to all the long-distance boards, and I got in a lot of trouble because the next end of the month my mom showed up with a, like, $550 phone bill. So I really kind of stopped calling the bulletin boards. America Online had a local number, and it pretty much had all the stuff I wanted. So, you know, and at that point, you know, there were some BBSs that were free, and but it was just too. There was just not very many local bulletin boards. But I did. Like I said, I got most of my stuff from America Online, and I was really into online gaming and just computer gaming in general. So the whole online scene wasn't real big for me, but I mean, I had lots of fun using the Sierra Network and Imagination Network, talking to people, you know, talking to people in America Online, playing online games like Neverwinter Nights and eventually Meridian 59 and, you know, all the games that were on the Sierra Network, the Shadows of Eusebius, all those early games were a lot of fun. So, but I would definitely check out the book Commodork by Rob O'Hara. I read it very quickly in about 2 days. It definitely captures the spirit of the times with what it was like to be a part of a BBS culture, a local scene. He was from Oklahoma, so to be a part of that local scene was experienced by a lot of people throughout the country, I believe. So where I grew up, Myrtle Beach didn't have a lot of bulletin board systems. There were a couple, but they were pretty cheesy. So, but once, you know, once the web came, everything changed. And, you know, for me, I went on to college and I used the campus high-speed internet access just using Netscape to go to websites. And, you know, I would use America Online some, but, you know, at that point you could find everything you wanted, you know, on the internet or on the web. And even when I remember, it's kind of funny, this month marks the 10-year anniversary that I started working in the computer industry. And 10 years ago this month, I started a little tech support shop called National Support Center in Columbia, South Carolina. And at that point is when I made a lot of friends that were really into computers and technology, and it was probably the best friends that I've ever had, the ones that you could really enjoy hanging out with, talking about technology. You know, they were hackers and programmers and networking guys, and, you know, they were all college students, all my same age. And in fact, just yesterday, I spent a couple hours on the phone with a friend of mine that I hadn't talked to in at least a year or so. We you know, we keep up through Instant Messenger, fortunately, but a lot of the guys I never talked to, and it's been a year since I talked to them. So, you know, it's definitely a lot of fun to think back to those days. And when I started out at that job, you know, there was a lot of things I didn't know about, and it was moving into the era of the internet and the web, and you know, the new way to get files or new way to get wares or whatever you wanted to get was through IRC and getting on IRC and using DCC and stuff like that, and learning about FTP sites and downloading stuff that way, or just getting it from friends. You know, before that, at home growing up, you know, all it was bulletin board systems or America Online. I mean, that was the only way to get stuff, or you had to buy it. The games through mail order. We didn't have any computer shops really where I grew up. So it was definitely a lot of fun to be in that environment once I was in college. And having a lot of friends, you know, friends had stuff that they had downloaded, so they would make you a CD of just games or whatever. And so it's funny, when I try to go and relive some of that stuff, I'll get on IRC and look around, but you know, it's really funny. Even IRC nowadays is almost dead. Not almost dead. I mean, there's still thousands of people that use IRC, but I would say that, you know, nowadays it seems not very many people know about IRC. IRC has always been underground, but nowadays even more so, I think people don't really know that much about IRC. Or they don't even use it anymore. I had tons of friends that used to get on EFNet on the channel South Carolina, and you know, we would meet people in there. People would come in that would go to the University of South Carolina, or that would be from the area, and we would meet up with them and we would hang out. Or you know, people that I worked together at National Support Center, we would be hanging out in the channel. We would meet someone in the channel, and then they would end up working at NSC with us, or we would know them from college, or our college friends would say, "Hey, join this channel," you know, and we would have parties and get-togethers and stuff. And we used to have like weekly or monthly things that what we called Mafia Night, and it was kind of silly because we were the least you know, thing from being mafia guys. We kind of laughed and kind of said it was like mafias or like mafioso guys, because we would meet at a Chinese restaurant and sit around and just, you know, smoke cigarettes and have Chinese food and stuff. And so it was, you know, one night we just kind of acted like that and like Goodfellas, and it just kind of stuck. And then from there they started calling it Chinese Mafia Night, which because it was at a Chinese restaurant. And so that went on, you know, for a couple years. And even after I left, people that I really didn't even know were still going to these Chinese Mafia Nights. Like I would see in the IRC channel, you know, Chinese Mafia Night, you know, next week. Or, you know, they would continue these on even after I moved away to Seattle, which, you know, was later on in college. In my fourth year of college, I dropped out and moved to Seattle, Washington. So, you know, they kept this stuff going even when I wasn't there. So it was really cool. A great environment, you know, a lot of fun growing up. So in the book, Commodork, he talks about that. So definitely check that out. Some other things I've kind of been into recently is I've been looking at some of the other podcasts. There's a couple out there. I continue to listen to Earl Evans' Retro Bits. There's a lot of great stuff. He's done some good. He actually did a two-part interview with Rob O'Hara, and that's how I got I found out about the book Commodork, because of Earl's interviews with Rob. I've started to get back, like I said, into BBS stuff. You know, BBS documentary by Jason Scott. I'm watching that again. I'm trying to go deeper into his website, textfiles.com. There's a lot of great text files on there from the old BBS days, and you can spend hours looking through that stuff. I've listened to a couple of his talks that he did at DEF CON a couple years ago, which I would definitely recommend to check those out. He writes a really great blog. If you go to textfiles.com, his blog is ASCII.textfiles.com. That's ASCII.com.textfiles.com. And he has some really good stuff he talks about the old days of BBS. I think what I'm going to do this summer is, or probably in the spring, as soon as it gets warm, I'm getting ready to get back in the garage and just clean everything up and get some of the old systems out. And I want to build some sort of counter or workbench in the garage to just be able to set everything up. That's one of my goals. It's like the winter doldrums the winter cabin fever is really getting to me. And I'm ready to, you know, do some projects and get out there and just have some fun on the weekends. My office, I want to just completely take everything out of my office and do some larger desks in here so I have more room to lay stuff out. So that's kind of a project that I'm working on. But, you know, it's time. It's definitely time for the spring to come and to make some changes and to clean some stuff up. So I need to do that. I want to work on the website some more, get some more content out to everyone that listens to the show. Also, like I said, I've been doing the live versions of Boring Beige Box on TalkShoe.com, And like I said, that's going to be Thursday nights. Definitely would check that out. Anybody that's into retro computing or listening to the podcast here can definitely join us. And that's about it. I'm going to come up with some really good topics in the next couple weeks and months. And there's some new things that I'm going to start delving into deeper. Computer gaming and online computer gaming has always been a big interest of mine. I want to delve into that more. Also want to talk more about BBSs and some of the online services again. Need to get into more of the hardware. I'm talking about more about, some more about some of the systems that were out at the time. How the market was, the computer industry and the market, how it was in the early 90s. There's a lot of episodes that I want to review that were on Computer Chronicles. It's on the archive.org site. And I'm also looking, if anyone wants to email me, you can shoot me an email at, you can email me directly at mattwilson247@hotmail.com or podcast@boringbeigebox.com. And I am wanting to find some more websites out there or online forums that talk about retro computing. There's some that are out there, but they're very specific for certain things. But I'm looking for something like overall, retro computing, but retro computing in the early 90s, early to mid 90s is kind of what I'm looking for. There is a great site, a Yahoo group that I was looking at today called the 80s BBS group on Yahoo. So that's a good group that you could check out if you're into the BBS stuff. But I might start a group. I might start a group about the retro computing in the 90s. So just keep an eye out for that. Well, that about does it, and I'd just like to thank you for listening tonight, and definitely stay tuned for more episodes in the future, and that's about it, so have a great week. Talk to you soon.